Lauderdale County authorities are working with the FBI on a 38-year-old DC White and corrections officer Vicky White. The duo are not related. Clues trace back to 9:41 a.m. Friday when Deputy White picked up DC White from his cell.
Kind of windy today, but it got up to the 8-0. pretty warm. Couldn't even take a decent nap. Now I got something else to gripe about, huh? Yeah. We have some things to talk about. And, well, one thing I wanted to keep in mind, you know, they had a drive-by in Pine Ridge and they killed a six-year-old Logan Goings, you know, some idiot shooting at a house. What bothers me about that is, you know, they call these Indian crimes, but I don't call them Indian crimes. Those are American white crimes. When a Lakotas kill a Lakota, that's because they're white. That's because they're American. Because no Lakota is going to kill another Lakota. This is white. When you run over and start being an American, then you think you're a gangster. Then you think you need to have a gun. You need to show off with this gun. Anyway, we'll get into that. I just kind of got a little fired up, you know, thinking about it. But we wanted to talk today before Vember takes over. I wanted to, you know, touch base on some Lakota language issues and critical race theory and, you know, some other little things that came down, you know. You know, they're going to execute a Navajo in Arizona in a couple days, I guess. His name is Clarence Dixon for murdering, for murder. You know, I don't think the Washitu has any right having taken the law into their own hands for our people. And we'll talk about that too. So for right now, I'm going to open it up for Vember and let him take over from here and say a little prayer, and then we'll resume the program with some issues. Vember, you ready to roll?
Yeah, I'm ready to roll. You are. Had to get it.
You got your tie on?
I'm always rolling.
You got your tie on?
I got everything going. My white, hairy elephant, everything. So, why not?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say a prayer before we get started, and then we'll start after that. I'm going to say a prayer for everybody.
I muted myself, you know. Anyway, Wastelo, you know, I kind of, you know, wanted to touch base real quick about what I was talking about, you know, some idiot shooting into a house and killing a six-year-old. And you know,
damn,
the Washitu, the Washitu when they hear this stuff, they say, see, look at Indians are killing Indians. Indians are, you know, right away, they got ammunition against us. Just like
yep.
up there when he killed that other Indian up there in the hotel. You know, we get blamed for that stuff, and they say, look at how Indians are. We can't allow Indians over here. Well, you know, these Indians learn all this from the Washichu, from the American, from the white man. Every bad habit we got, we learned from them. So it's not an Indian crime. It's a white crime. It's an American crime. It has nothing to do with what we're about, you know. When you kill another Indian, you're not Lakota no more. You're nothing, you know. Every crime that our people commit, a lot of times we learn them from the Washichu. Even myself, you know, I went did time for crimes that I got influenced by Washichu, you know. I mean, how many Indians are going to be robbing banks, you know? Where do you get that from? You know, a lot of crimes that our people have that come down is because of our people using drugs, alcohol, et cetera, and not following our traditional cultural spiritual ways. It's just that simple. And, you know, I wanted to touch base about a few things. I mentioned, you know, about this and, you know, like them going to execute a Navajo guy in down there in Arizona. And, maybe we could get into some Lakota. Or I want to get in. We're going to get into Lakota language, you know, about, you know, who do we learn from, you know? So we're going to get into that, you know, and some critical race theory. And also I wanted to, touch base about once again about this school district in Ohio, Lakota school district. You know, their motto is, we are Lakota. And they got issues, you know. Someone was trying to teach porn in the school. They got public social issues. And when I seen this on the news, I thought that was our people. And I looked and it wasn't. And, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. The only thing I can say is awareness. We need to be more aware of what's going on. But social networking and news and all this, pretty soon the world closes in and we find out how this invasive species takes advantage of everything we do. Anyway, right now, you know, well, I wanted to, open people's mind up about, you know, you hear Wimber comes on, he prays in Lakota, and the Lakota language, and this goes with languages all across the indigenous nation, you know. Lakota is best taught by Lakota man. It's best taught being around it, you know. It's best taught. But I know they have books. I know they have Lakota classes and lessons and all this. And it's all right. But you can't get into the language unless you live in it, you know. You ain't going to learn it from a book. And you damn sure ain't going to learn it off some Washichu guys that wrote books about it. You know, they got a guy in Germany see him having a brain lock on his name, but he has a Lakota German teaching book. And then some lady that was stalking me for like 20 years, that's what she was doing. You know, they get off in this. One thing I'll tell you about, you know, because we're Lakota, I give a Lakota opinion, and remember this too, and, you know, my brother and us. And one thing I learned is either you're going to love us or you're going to hate us. That's what you do. You're either going to love us or you're going to hate us. I see it on Facebook all the time. People trying to get in the door with us and trying to, you know, be friendly with us. The next thing you know, they're hating on us. You know, one guy trying to get in the door even had a Lakota name, you know. I don't know who gave it to him, but it was Standing Bear, or, you know, he made up some bear, but he was a Washichu from some other state. But he came over, started hanging around with Lakotas, started going on the rides, you know, started donating this and that. And after he did that for a while, he started thinking he should have a voice, you know, with our people. And the minute somebody started questioning him, he started getting on his ass and talking about how he's an ex-felon, how he got thrown out of the military, how he, you know, he brought up all this smut about this guy. Well, to me, getting thrown out of the military is like getting thrown out of the Hell's Angels. That's good. You know, I don't see no honor or dishonor in getting thrown out of the United States military. That's like getting thrown out of the Ku Klux Klan. You know, I don't give a crap. You know, this guy really thinks he's going to hurt this Indian by saying that. And then saying he's an ex-felon. You know, everything. And then when I questioned him about that, he got all teed off at me. He said, "You should know better." I should know better? Get the hell out of here. And I, you know, anyway, he even was on this radio show. He even came on this show several times, you know, talking about how great he is, how he helps the Lakota, how all the stuff he does. We don't need that.
You know, Tanshi, that goes back to what I said before. These Washichus, they come in and all of a sudden they're Indian experts, you know. All of a sudden they're writing books, acting like they lived there, you know, and they did all these things, like this language that she was talking about. You know, they're having a big old deal about it in Standing Rock. The very people that killed Sitting Bull, you know, they're up there trying to dictate with some Washichus on how it should be taught and the only way it should be taught, which pertains to all the Lakota people, you know. They don't speak for me. I'm a Lakota. I'm a Wild Oglala. I'm a Oglala person, you know. And I don't need Standing Rock or Washichus telling me you have to teach with this method or you have to teach in this way. These are the people that denied being Indian. They were ashamed to be Indian. They were the ones that called us rock worshippers, dog eaters. We were the dirtiest people on earth not too long ago because we were Lakota and we took up for Lakota because we grew up Lakota and we had no choice because that's who we were. And these people that were in denial that wanted to be Washichu, you know, now all of a sudden they're all Indian experts. All of them, they find out that now it's cool to be Lakota. It looks cool to be Indian. Then all of a sudden, they're experts telling us how we have to teach our kids, what we have to use to teach our kids. And this is the only way we could teach our kids. You know, that me, myself, that they don't speak for me at all, those type of people. You know, I talked to Tanshi about this. In Rosebud, these communities, they have ways of teaching their kids. There's kids that learn from these elderly, these people that take the time to put their kids there so these elderly could teach them. There's teaching methods amongst our people. But yet when you go and then you say they can't do that, they have to do it our way. That's, to me, that's a bunch of BS. You don't do that. Those of you that are doing this are people that were number one in stopping us speaking Lakota language at one time. You wanted to control all that. You beat us. You tortured us, sexually abused us to try to take it away from us. But yet we hung in there. Those of us that didn't want to give it up, we hung in there. And we stood strong. Then all of a sudden in 1973, it was cool to be Indian. Then you have all these guys that were in denial. They didn't want to be they didn't want to be Lakota. They wanted to be Washichu. And now they're bringing those Washichu tactics in the teaching Lakota way. That, to me, that's totally wrong. You don't do that stuff. You leave these Lakotas alone. That's all we've ever asked, was to be left alone. And look at the predicament we're in today. You have non-Lakotas, non-Indians, dictating how we could teach and how we could speak, and they've never spoke the language in their lifetime when they were young. Now all of a sudden they're all experts, telling us that we have to have degrees to speak Lakota. We can't teach that person because we don't have a degree. You have to come through me to have a degree. And yet, I know more Lakota than these people saying that. Then they come to you and ask you to interpret, what does this mean? Well, they want you to explain and to interpret what the words. They're the experts, so they claim. And we're the ones that don't know nothing. Why are you saying that we have to have a piece of paper to teach the Lakota language? To begin with, where in the hell were they when the tribal councils were supposed to be bilingual? Where in the hell were they? How come they didn't enforce that then? Now all of a sudden they want to enforce this? These little kids, why isn't it mandatory that our kids be taught Lakota language at a young age? Instead, you have these grown-ups standing there in tribal council chambers and in colleges saying, this is the only way you're going to learn. This is how you're going to do it. This is the only way you're going to do it. And they're trying to make laws against the Lakota people themselves. And these are the ones that didn't want it in the first place. What's wrong with people today? You know, these fools that are doing that with these Washichus up there in Standing Rock, they don't speak for me at all. I don't give a damn what they do. But when you start kicking Lakota speakers off the reservations that they belong on, that bothers me. And that's what's happening in Standing Rock. They're kicking Lakota speakers out of there because they want to be the ones that teach it, because there's money involved in it all of a sudden. So they want the money. And then these Washichus are there helping these like divide and conquer again. They were the ones that wanted us not to speak the language. They were the ones that were against us. They wanted us to learn English, nothing but English. Don't be Indian. Don't think Indian. These were the people that were there doing that to us. Now all of a sudden they're Indian experts. They're Lakota experts. To me, that's totally wrong. If you want to do some good and constructive, start with it when they're very young. Enforce it in these schools, all these reservation schools. Make it mandatory that they speak Lakota first before they speak English. Try that instead of taking something and saying, this is the law. This is how we're going to do it. And we're going to force everybody to do it this way because they're going to get money out of it. That's wrong. That's like excluding Richard and his community up there on how to teach Lakota to their young ones, or anybody for that matter. These people are, when there's money involved in it, they go nuts. And that's not right. You know, the Lakota language belongs to the Lakota people. Lakhantunka gave it to us. And he gave it to us for a reason. He didn't give it to us to sell. And then back in the day when they were first making that Lakota dictionary, the N and the D speakers were invited to come and help with that dictionary. No, they wanted to get paid. They were against it because there wasn't any money in it for them. So these old guys from the Lakota went and did, you know, made this dictionary. All of a sudden, the E and the D speakers came over there when the book was being published, and they threw an injunction into it. So the court sided with these D and N speakers and shut it down. So there was only a couple of runs of that dictionary. And they had every opportunity to go and put their wording in there the way they seen fit. But they didn't do that because they wanted money. So they shut that down, see. Now all of a sudden, it's you have to teach it this way or you can't do it at all. You can't speak Lakota at all if you don't teach it. You know, to me, they're a bunch of hypocrites, these guys. You know, these are your people you're talking about. You're talking about the Lakota language. Wakantra, that's a God-given gift from Wakantra. Wakantra gave it to us. An animal came and gave it to us. That's how this thing came about. And now all of a sudden you have these so-called grown-ass men saying that this is how it's going to be taught. This is what's going to happen. Otherwise, the law is going to back us, and we're going to come after you. They kicked some people out of Standing Rock because they were teachers up there, Lakota language teachers. Now they can't go up there and teach because of these fools up there, Washijus, and they sided with Indians. And all of a sudden, the council passes a law saying they can't go up there and teach. What's wrong with these people? Just because there's money to be made, like Kirsch was talking about, a school. They're using our name, a name that belongs to us, that we should be protecting. But those guys, they're not up there protecting the Lakota language. They're up there helping destroy it. Why don't they go after that all Washichup area called Lakota? You know, instead, they're up there attacking their own people, telling them, this is how you teach it. And then they're pushing all these real Lakota speakers out of everything because they want it taught their way. You know, that to me, that's not you. You're thinking like a Washichu. You're acting like a Washichu. And who in the world left you in charge of the Lakota language? Hey, Wakantanka Unkupalo. Wakantanka gave us that. You know, an animal, sent an animal, a bird to come and teach us this. So that's how it came about. That's how the Lakota language came about. That's why we have it today. Lakota is a very sacred language, and you got people up there trying to dictate how these communities are going to teach it and the only way to teach it. And if you don't do it that way, the law is going to come after you. Come on. You know, it's illegal to do. You know, you ain't any better than these Christians that beat the shit out of these Catholics, that beat the shit out of us, tortured us, sexually abused us in these schools trying to make us white. You are no better when you do things like that. To me, when they do things like this, all the traditional languages in the United States are in jeopardy. Because you have these people that want to dictate how it's taught, where it's taught, how you're going to teach it, and who's going to teach it. If they don't have a piece of paper from then you can't teach it. You know, to me, that's totally wrong. If you know Tashi, the language, it's getting starting to be extinct.
Tashi.
Yeah.
I would like you to explain to listeners that are tuned in right now why and how exactly is it that you still speak the language and other people don't? You know, why? So they understand one thing. You know, I know why. I know why. Because I live around where we have Lakota speakers. Like, you go down here to Spring Creek. Away from everything. Even the kids still talk Lakota. When you get away from the Washichu, the language is still there. But the more closer you get into these communities, and, you know, like you go into Rosebud, they're like a bunch of, I don't like to, you know, be talking to sound racist, but half breeds and all this, it's nothing but English. You go to a post office, it's some white looking postmistress and stuff there working in there, talking English. Well, over here in St. Francis, a couple of our postmistress still talk Lakota. You know, the further you get into the, like you go to Mission, you know, more you live around the Washichu, you lose it. But when you live in communities anyway, I'm taking over from my question, what I asked you, so you can explain why is
okay.
it that you still speak it, you know?
You know, yeah, back in the day when we was young, our parents were threatened. We grew up all Lakota-speaking people. Everybody spoke Lakota in my family, and my mother's family and my father's family. They all spoke Lakota. But when they made that law to where we were forced to go to school or our parents were going to go to jail, these people made Indians ashamed of speaking their language and who they were. These Catholics, these teachers, these half-breeds, these Yetskas, they made it to where we were the targets because we come from these places where Lakota was spoken, and they knew it. They called us Boone Indians. You know, they called us bow and arrow or, you know, buckskin Indians because we come from these communities that spoke Lakota, you know. So they always made fun of us because our English skills weren't very good. So we went to school. They forced us to go to school. But our communities that we come from, they still spoke Lakota language, and they were fluent speakers. And when we went and learned English, a lot of times we would have to interpret for our elders. And so they depended on us, and we went to school. But the school tried to beat the Lakota language out of us. It didn't matter how they did it. If they tortured you, that wasn't torture. That was a way of getting the language out of you. Don't think that way. Don't speak that way. That's how it was in these schools, government and Christian schools. There was no Lakota speaking allowed. But a few of us, I guess they used to call us troublemakers. But we hung on to our language because of the way they treated us. They did everything, and they used not only the Washichu, but some of our own people. They shamed our own people into coming after us for speaking the language, speaking our traditional language, the Lakota language. But yet, you'd get that torture when you went into the schools. You lived it. But yet, when you got back into your community, all these people spoke Lakota. And they didn't understand English. So you went back to that. So you hung in there with them. And they made fun of you because you spoke English. See? So it was bad one way and it was bad the other way. They told you to speak Lakota because you're Lakota. They didn't want that. But yet it came in handy at times when people spoke English to them. See? So we had to speak the Lakota language. But yet, when we went back to school, it was torture all over again. See, and then these communities that have this like she was talking about, Spring Creek down there. I've been down there. You know, I know what it's like down there. All those people speak that beautiful language called Lakota, and it's a real good language. There's no bad about the Lakota language. And it's a beautiful thing. When I go into a community just like that, I feel good because those are my people. And I know what they're speaking. I know how they're talking. I know who they are because of that language, because that's how I grew up. Then you go into these places like Mission or Agency. These Agency Indians ridiculed you. They made fun of you. Still to this day, some of them still do that. And so We had to keep our language. Our father, our dad told us, you're Lakota and you're going to die Lakota, so don't ever forget Lakota. See,
I remember them calling us Buck Indians.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and you know, so in one hand, our father, my dad, made sure that we was Lakota because he didn't speak English, so it was all Lakota. So when we went home, we had to speak Lakota. There was no English. They didn't know how to speak English. So we lived in that community. But yeah, when we went to Pine Ridge or one of these places where there's a lot of half-breeds and a lot of guys that wanted to be Washichu, you know, they tortured us there too because we were Indian. We were Lakota and we spoke Lakota. And sometimes when you would speak it, amongst, when you go to Pine Ridge and you speak it to some of your people, these so-called Yeskas, oh, they're talking about us. There's better things to talk about than those. They're poor skinny asses, you know, but still they had that idea that we was talking about them and we were saying something bad about them, which wasn't the case. And they felt guilty about what? Just because we were speaking our language. They made it harder than hell for us, see. And yet we hung on to it. I told myself in school when they beat me and stuff, I told myself then, I'd never give it up. I'd never stop speaking Lakota because that's what they wanted me to do, see. And they couldn't knock it out of me. They couldn't beat it out of me. They couldn't do anything to take it away from me because I had it inside. That's how I hung on to it. A lot of the guys that I went to school with back eventually – they gave in to that to the Washichu, so they could understand Lakota. They could understand what I was saying, but then answer me in English, because that's how ashamed they were, and that's how they treated them. So they eventually gave into it. I didn't. Me, I never gave into it. And there's a lot of us back home. Well, I shouldn't say a lot of us, but quite a few of us that hung on to it, and we continued even as we was growing up. We never gave it up. We up to this day, we never gave it up. And we had a lot of opposition whenever that came about. See, in the beginning, our tribal councils were supposed to be bilingual. Lakota first and then English. That's how the council was supposed to run. Whatever happened to that, see? They wanted to get rid of us. They wanted to rid all of us that spoke Lakota at one time. And that's how they did it, was torture, abuse, everything in the books, these Washichus did. And with the help of these so-called sellouts, in Wounded Knee 73, the goons, that's what they were. They were against Lakota-speaking people. That's what that was about, too. See? Because they sided with the Washichus. They sided with the white man.
I remember in the 60s when I went to court, you know, when I got in trouble, my uncle was a judge, you know, and
yeah,
and they talk Lakota in court.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's that you went to court, there's talking Lakota, you know, and the cops are talking Lakota, you know?
Yeah. And, everybody.
You know? And then when you, like me, of course, we went to California relocation. You go back to, and that's what's hard about this country, you know. It's difficult in this country because Chinese citizens, when a cop pulls them over, it's a Chinese cop. When they go to court, it's a Chinese judge. Their leader's Chinese, you know. When Russians go to court, that's Russian. They live in on Russian land, you know. Other countries...
Yeah.
Live in their own culture, but us, we don't. You know, who do we talk to when a cop pulls us over in some Peckerwood? When we go to court in some Peckerwood? When you turn on the TV, it's a Peckerwood. When you go apply for a job, it's a Peckerwood. Everything is, you know, they put in some blacks and stuff in these places, you know, in different cultures and Supreme Court, et cetera. But who are these blacks? Who are these other cultures? They're Americans. you know?
Yep.
I mean, they're black, but they're Americans. It's the same like the guy who shot up and killed this Indian child in Pine Ridge. He might be Lakota looking, but he's American. You know?
Yep.
Once you become American, that's what you are. And when you become American, you're going to talk English. And you're going to give up all your way of life. You're going to go their way. That's why I got upset about the American Indian movement when these GDC people, you know, were trying to get our people to vote. They were calling Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, natives for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, you know. You know, these guys are on AIM. They're sitting on Grand Governing Council. AIM for the vote, you know, AIM for this, AIM for that. You know, when the American Indian Movement was far from that in the beginning. But you see, these people, because they don't speak their own language, because they don't live their own language, anybody could get a headdress and walk around with it. Does that make you an Indian? Hell no. I see them doing that. You know, they join AIM and right away slap on a headdress, start wearing some kind of feathers, start, you know, running around this way and that way, you know. Yeah. But they forgot about our culture, about their culture. Yep. We're not Americans, and they need to understand that. And we all have our own language, and they need to understand it. And the only way to learn your language is from your people. The only one qualified to teach you Lakota right now is Wimber, you know?
Yeah.
And people like, he don't have a college degree, or maybe I should say, he's got a bullshit degree, BS degree.
I got a real PhD, pound and deeper, you know?
You know, these are the people that are teachers, but they get pushed out of our society. Like when I was young, and even right now, we had a place called Wisdom Corner down here in town, and it was a little area with benches and all that, and all these Lakotas used to go in there and hang out there, sit there, visit. And they only talk Lakota. Sometimes they'd be singing Lakota songs there. Well, the half-breeds in this town that, hold on now, the half-breeds in this town that are in politics said, we need to shut that down. We need to close down Wisdom Corner because it's looking trashy. And there's a bunch of drunks hanging out there. Not decent people. So that's what they did. They took out the benches, closed off the corner. Now there's weeds there, but these Lakota speakers still hang out there. You know, they still go there, you know. But you see, that's how we teach. That's how we treat real, genuine, traditional people. Society discriminates on them. They're prejudiced, even Indians. They're prejudiced against them. They push them out in the schools. They make fun of the kids that live this way, you know, because 9 times out of 10, if you're a traditional Lakota, you're going to live poorer than the BIA worker or the hospital worker or the English speakers, because the English speakers are in with the government, and the government's going to give them propane, nice house, et cetera, and they fly the American flag. But you go to Lakota speaker's house, their doors are open. People just walk in and out, eat, you know. It's a free, Lakota life is a free society, you know. Go in and out, share and all that. But all of this is changing.
The colleges.
And the society, like in Standing Rock, they're trying to take over and be in charge of who is the teacher.
Yeah.
Who are the ones to give, you know, teach our people. And how can you go? I just seen a picture of the Pine Ridge president and the Rosebud tribal president with Governor Rounds, you know?
Yeah.
Two Indians with the white guy. And what were they wearing? All three of them had on American suits.
Suits,
you know? And all three of them were talking, trying to use big Washita words, you know?
Yeah.
So, of course, you go check Rodney's house down in Rosebud. He got a full tank of propane. He got nice SUVs.
Yep.
He got things, you know? But to get a real tribal leader, it ain't going to happen because the government ain't going to allow them to happen. The same way with the judges. Like I said, our judges used to be Lakota speakers, and they're no more. A judge has to be a judge in here, and the rest, you got to have a degree, a college degree.
Yep.
So where, how do you get a college degree? You get it from talking white man talk. You get it from speaking English. You get it from hanging out with them. You get it from rubbing shoulders with them. So when you go to court nowadays, these judges are treating you just like a white man treats you. You know, they ain't have no compassion for the people, you know, making them pay fines, sending them to jail. There's no other remedy but the Washita remedies. And then, so at the same time, because of the way they run things, like they want the law in their hands.
Yeah.
When you put the law in the hands of the Washita, what happens? That means if somebody rapes your daughter, or somebody kills your son, or somebody come and beat you up, and you defend yourself and you defend your family, then you're going to prison because they're going to defend what you do is a crime, and they say what you're doing. So that's why this guy, they're shooting up, killing the Indian child. And, they executed the Navajo maybe it was last year or something. I can't remember. Now they're going to kill another one. The one they killed last year, he did some brutal crime against his own people. But so to justify, is that still justification to let the American punish your people? You know, how do you deal with that? You know, I heard right away this guy killed his child. Yeah, I hope he goes to prison for the rest of his life, you know. That's the only way they think. I hope he goes. What other way? Right away, I was thinking, damn, you need to catch this guy who did that and give him some street justice, you know.
Yep.
You know, if you want to stop Indians from killing Indians, you need to have some street justice, you know. You need to start correcting these kids who are walking down the road with tattoos on their face, with pants hanging off their ass, trying to look like a gangster. You need to stop them and set them straight right now. You need to go over when you start seeing, and then you see these cops trying to run around looking like Clint Eastwood and SWAT team and all that. You need to stop that. You need to, when you go into court and see this judge sitting in there like a Washita, trying to look all arrogant, you need to stop that. If you want to stop crime against Indians, you need to stop them from acting like Washita.
You know.
But how do we stop that? You know.
You know, Tunchi, the law and order system back in the day, they were pretty strict about their laws. Nowadays, a lot of these, like he was talking about, these young kids and stuff, they hide behind the Washita laws because it's lenient and because that's their way out. Long ago, when the traditional court system, they didn't mess around. And you couldn't lie because there were spiritual leaders there. So there was no lying to those old people. If you committed a crime, I don't know, you probably heard about that story in World War II. That guy came back and raped his own daughter while he was drunk.
Damn.
And they asked his mother, Justice DeWant, because she raised that little girl. And it was her son that did this. The girl's father that did this. So they asked her, the traditional courts, and it wasn't just one man sitting there with a robe on. It was the chiefs. It was the justices, all these wise chiefs that were sitting there. They asked the woman, what do you want? What do you think is just for this man? And she said, bury him alive, because the trauma that girl's going to go through after this and seeing him. So there was American military and everything there. But the Warrior Society took him, dug a grave, and buried him alive. And he was begging for his life. But there was nothing he could do because the Warrior Societies had to dish out the justice, see. And they did exactly what that grandmother wanted, see. His own mother, because of what he did. So they buried him alive. That was the end of that man and that girl fearing him for the rest of her life, see. The grandma seen to it. So it was always asked of the person that the crime was committed against, what do you think? So they even put dogs and horses on trial back in the day. And there was no shortcuts. So, but nowadays, you look at these young ones. You look at, man, they go rob a house. They do all this shit. And the court system protects them. Because if you tried to dish out justice to them, what happens? See? So they know that. And a lot of these kids use the Washichu justice system to do these things. See, long ago, it wasn't like that. Justice was swift and it was honest. It was fair. Nowadays, it's not like that. So all these Washichu thinkers, that's why there's all kinds. Then they talk about the road to prison, you know, school to prison road, you know. It's the Washichu's justice system that's ruining the shit out of us. But yet, they don't speak about that. And then they ask these traditional people about law and order. And when they speak, oh, that's too harsh. You can't do that to a 12, 13, 15-year-old, 17-year-old, 18-year-old. Oh, you know, he's got to go to court. He has to go in front of a jury of his peers, you know.
What about the
people
you know,
that
like
committed
this,
the crime again?
Like this guy who shot this young child. You know,
yeah.
If he gets caught and goes to prison, what's going to happen to him in prison? I know what's going to happen to him. It's going to make his pride bigger because he's in prison now. He's going to be strutting the yard. He ain't going to tell what he's in there for, but he's going to be strutting the yard. Yeah, I mean, for murder, man, you know. And he's going to go in prison and walk that way. So punish him in Washichu way isn't helping at all. You know,
nope,
the other thing I was going to say is I opened up these lines, remember? I opened up all these lines here. And there's other, you know, because one thing leads to another, what we're talking about. And how do we stop? How do we help our children? How do we get them back in the right path? How do we change the way of our life? It's hard. It's going to be harder as each day goes because each day we got a new person rolling over to the American side. Each day we got 50 people rolling over American side. Each day we got people hanging out with Americans and changing that way. For some reason, our people don't know how to cross the road and hang out with a white boy and not be a white boy when they come back. They don't know how to do that, you know. But that's why, you know, I was thinking about how the system is out there and how the blacks and other cultures, how they're talking about this critical race theory, you know. Teach them in school. Teach them in school the truth about what happened. Yeah, I agree. You know, teach the truth. But who needs to know the truth more than them Peckerwoods in the Senate, like Lindsey Graham and all them, Fox News and all them? They're the ones need to learn, not our kids. They need to learn.
Yep.
Those grown adults are the ones attacking critical race theory because they're saying, oh, we're making people racist against whites. People are thinking all whites are evil. Oh, yeah, of course, because listen to you. Listen to yourself, you know? Just listen to you.
Yeah.
Look at you guys. Look at how you're inflaming a war on the other side of the ocean by helping them with weapons and making them fight harder so more people die. You know, that's American logic, stupidity.
Yep.
You know, and it goes all the way around. Everything they touch is stupid. So they're the ones, you know, critical race theory, you know, and lines are open too. All this stuff. That's why we got this school over there called Lakota School District. How it sneaked into that area, I don't know. It probably been there 50 years and never knew it, you know. Where did they get this name at, you know? We're and then, how, you know, this motto, we are Lakota, you know?
Yeah.
And they're all, you look at their website, it's all Washichus, blacks, Arabs, and everything else that lives in Cincinnati. Don't see no Indians there, but see everything else over there, you know? Anyway, lines are open, Philip, Lance, Jennifer. You guys can jump in anytime you want on any of these issues. And maybe, you know, I know like Vimber, myself, my brother, and other listeners, Lakota and different tribes, it's hard for us to have a solution to things because we have our own people, indigenous cultures out there, you know, especially some of them who are arguing about who's Mexican and who's Chicano. You know, they're out arguing about that. You know, they're brown like us and everything, but they're arguing about that, you know. I mean, I'm glad they're proud that they're brown, but did they ever wonder why they're brown? Do they ever wonder that?
You know, Tunchi, the question should be, are you boat, is your ancestors boat people or not? You know, and that's instead, who's Chicano and who's Mexican? See, that's like we were just talking about this Lakota language. See, maybe it'll work amongst the white people, but leave us Lakota alone. You know what I mean? Bad enough, look at all the destruction they did to us. And look at the destruction, just that simple question, Chicano, Mexican. Look at the destruction that causes, see? That's how Washichu control. You know, who floated in on a boat and who didn't? Lindsey Graham and all of them, they talk about critical race theory and how they're discriminating against Washichus. It's true. What are you ashamed of it now so you don't want to talk about it? You know, the truth is the truth, and no matter what, people are going to find out. The white people are the most hateful, kill-loving society there is. And look at right now, look at what they're doing. They're sending all kinds of weapons to another country to kill their own people. And they don't even care about it. They brag about it. Oh, we got to defend. We got to help these people defend their country. That is all Russian country. Leave those people. They don't know how to leave well enough alone. That's a thing. They got some interest over there, and it's money.
You know, here's what how stupid they are. It's like when you're small, you believe in Santa Claus because that's what they told you. But there's a certain time in our life when we outgrow that. And the same way with critical race theory. You know, our kids are going to outgrow what you teach them in school about 1776 honor, the how the criminal Washichu got away from their master in England. You know, they're going to find out if you're a black kid, if you're a Mexican kid, or a native kid. Or even Chinese, when you get older, you're going to grow up and you're going to find out they're just invaders.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to find that out anyway. So, you know, so to me, going in and doing all this time, spending time to teach these kids, you know, that is kind of defeating the purpose here. I think we have to teach our kids the truth, right? I believe that. But, you know, the law should be aimed at those Washichu that think their laws are the right laws. You know, there's enough people of color in this country right now to switch the whole system over to a new way of life, a new law set by these people of color, not the white man, a new declaration, a new constitution, you know, that tells it like it is, you know. Let them know they're invaders, they're invasive species. Let them know that. And they got a home if they want to find it, get in that boat and get back across over there, you know.
Yep.
They can do that, you know. But we don't do that. We got millions. Why are all these people of color so happy to join in with these Americans? Why are they so happy that now they got a black Speaker of the House for the president? Why are they so happy, you know, when they get someone of color there? It don't do no good because it's still like a white person talking. Because I don't care what color you are, you got to follow their rules because they made those rules. I don't care if you're purple, black, Lakota, or what.
You know,
once our people join in with them, they quit acting like Lakota or Native. They start being white. You know what I mean?
Yeah, look at what just happened, and they raided their so-called white people, went into the White House, so-called the White House, did all these things. But since they're white, they're real touchy-feely about trafficking. And the main fucking character, main dude behind all of that is still walking around free. If one of us did that, what do you think they would have did to us? See, that's the thing. That's treason. Those people committed treason to the max. But yet, all these white people are okay with it because they're not people of color. See, that's what it is.
Look at the American Indian Movement. They went to Wounded Knee. That ain't the White House. But they went and convicted a whole bunch of Indians over that.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
They didn't, you know, they didn't give a crap. Now these January 6th people that are going to court are crying around, I got 6 months in jail. I was defending my country. Woo-hoo-hoo. You know, they're doing all that crying around. and people get sympathy for them. For them. It's just like Johnny Depp and his Amber Heard woman. They're on the stage. Yep. Which one is putting on the best crying show? You know, they're both actors.
Yep.
Which one's putting on the best crying show? That Amber Heard was sitting over there all mousy looking, and then now she's on the stage, so she ain't mousy no more. She's crying. Ooh, you know. You know, and throwing all this snow on.
Tranchi, what really pisses me off about that woman is, you know, she shit on in the middle of Johnny Depp's bed. Then she tried to blame her dog. Gee, that's not cool at all.
You know, that's cold blooded.
Leave the dog alone. Shit, you know. To me, that's the worst part of that trial. Leave the dog out of it. Hell, you know.
I mean, what kind of society are they if they poop in somebody's bed? You know.
Then on his counter too. she pooped on his counter, you know, where he fixes his food, and then she blamed the dog again. You know, come on, you know, Jesus, that's the one teacher for you, see?
And then call it a joke gone bad, you know?
Yeah, you know.
In other words, she admitted doing that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I could never admit pooping in somebody's bed. Damn.
Nope. Or the counter, you know?
Even when I was in jail, I pooped in the toilet, you know, where it belonged.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I could have, I didn't like jail. I could have pooped all over the walls and everything, you know, but you know, even in jail, I'm pooping in the toilet, you know? You know?
Hey,
I
won't even admit pooping in my own bed.
Yeah. Really, you know?
Yeah,
and
I mean, even going pee in the bed is kind of makes you red.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. Yeah. You know, and that's Washington for you. See, that's what I mean. And they're both liars, you know, and yet people love it, you know. That's, poor pitiful girl, poor pitiful guy, you know, such bullshitters, you know. That's, you know, it's
I remember they had that big riot down there in Charleston or something, where some guy plowed into the crowd and they busted these Nazis and these white racists, and one white racist was on video showing off his weapons, all with his head shaved, really talking proud.
Yeah.
And next thing, when they were taking him to jail, he was a video, crying again.
Yeah.
You know, the Washichu has no shame in putting on a crying show. You know, no shame.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Look at all of the January 6th guys, all putting on a crying show. Remember that guy who shot those people in Wisconsin, that kid, Rittenhouse, put on a crying show. Man, they're good at putting on these crying shows, you know. And people believe the crying show, you know.
Yep.
And to me, when someone's putting on a crying show to me, I say, man, wake up, man. Wake up. Get yourself together, you know. I mean, I understand, but damn. We don't need to do the crying show. Let's get our act together here, you know? I mean, was our people in AIM doing a crying show in 1973? No, they was, you know, they was up there getting down. And the other thing, you know, going back to what we were talking earlier, Tashi, because this kind of slipped my mind. When Indians are talking Lakota, you know, when you see a group of Indians talking Lakota and you're standing there, people don't like it. They get paranoid because, they must be making fun of me. Because when you're with your own people talking Lakota, it's enjoyable. So you're laughing and you know, you're making, because things in Lakota sound funnier. So they're laughing and stuff. And these people that only speak English say, they're making fun of me. And that's the furthest thing from their mind, you know?
Yeah, the thing about it is there is better things to talk about than an individual that's an ass, you know what I mean? But they put themselves in there saying, they're talking bad about me. See, that's the thing. They all have that Washichu mentality, you know? Right away, it's bad, you know? And that's the problem with these people, that when there's a bunch of us that speak Lakota and we're standing there talking Lakota, all these guys, that these non-speakers of Lakota, they're all standing there with their head down. We ain't talking about them. We could be talking about something, bird or something, but yet they think we're talking about them. You know, there's more important things to talk about. Yeah.
You know what I became ashamed of? I was at a council meeting one time, sitting there when I used to work at the radio show. Some Lakota got up in the council and started talking Lakota. You know, and he was talking in Lakota, and here all of a sudden those council guys say, now say it in English so the rest of us can understand, you know. Yep. That's shameful. This is the Rosebud Sioux tribe. And they're over there saying, speak English.
They're not close to us.
Yep. Yeah. That's what we're up against. We're against that kind of mentality.
You know,
and
instead of trying
to
hear
us talking, if they listen to this radio show, they'll probably come and try to have the cops around me, you know. Something, you know. They don't like it.
What gets me at Tekunshi is instead of trying to learn it and ask, you know, what does this word mean, catching a word out of it and saying, what does this mean? Asking the right question. Right away they say, can you say it in English so we all understand? That is very shameful, especially when you're Lakota and you claim Lakota and then you do something like that, see? Instead of trying to be who you are, you want the easy way out, which is, can you say, why don't you say, what does this word mean? Try to get something out of it, positive, instead of being negative about it, see? And that's the problem with a lot of these younger guys. They want you to speak in Lakota, and yet they still think you're speaking of it, see? And that's the problem. Instead of saying, you know, what does this word mean? Or what does that word mean? I caught a part of this. And this is what I think you said, or something like that, you know, to be positive. Right away, they want you to be Washichu and explain Washichu to them, you know. If you're Lakota and you're standing there, you should learn, know some of those words that are spoken to be a part of the conversation, see. Instead of putting all of that on that, blame on those Lakota speakers.
That'd be like sitting in the ceremony and they're, you know, talking Lakota, and then somebody says, Tokashima, can you speak English now?
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. Can you tell me that in English now? You know? And yet they do that to us, see? They want us to explain ourselves because we're speaking Lakota. That's our language. And like I always say, there's more important things to talk about than those people, you know? And that's the problem. And that's, they get all guilty. They feel butthurt about something that we're saying, and yet they make no effort into learning it, see? And that's the problem. Instead of making fun of it and trying to feel bad, learn something. Learn parts of it. Get some words. Pick up some words, you know? And then that way you could be a part of the conversation, you know, even if you're speaking Washichu, Washichu speak, catch some of the words. So you could say, I think I know what you're talking. You know, there's a guy named Yamni Frank back home that hung around us so long. When we speak Lakota now and we're joking, it's like he laughs right along with us, you know. And one time I asked him, I said, I caught a part of that. He said, some of the words you guys used, he said, I know what they mean. He said, you know. And that's a guy that's an Alaskan native, you know. And he knows the Lakota. He said, I know these words and what they mean. So he said, I know what you guys were talking about. He said, you guys are funnier than hell. He said, you know. And that's why,
that's why the spiritual way of life is so important. Because you know what? He learned it because we all live in that Sundance ceremonies, Inipi, and we sing in the song.
Yep.
We know the culture. And I always tell people, if you want to relearn the language, learn them Lakota song, learn them songs, because they'll teach you, you know. And that's a good way to start, because you ain't going to learn it anyplace else. People need to gather their spiritual way of life back. All tribes, other tribes, every tribe has their own language, and they have their own ceremonies, and they speak their own language in the ceremonies. That's where you learn it. You ain't going to learn it in a Catholic church. In a Catholic church, they're gonna be saying, I speak about checkers, you speak about dominoes, you know. And stuff like that in Latin, you know.
Yep.
Our English, you know. But you ain't gonna learn no Lakota there, I tell you that.
Nope.
That's you. But if you go to spiritual ceremonies, you're going to learn culture, language in any part of the world. And no matter what culture you are, if you live in a spiritual way, you're going to learn your language. And
you know,
we need to learn our own.
Yeah, that's totally correct, Country, because spiritually you're there. You're part of it, and you're involved. Your spirit is involved, so you're going to learn, you know, if you give into it. But if you don't, you're sitting there, you know, not wanting to learn anything, you're not going to learn anything, you know. And that's correct when you say this, these songs. A lot of these guys know these songs, could sing these songs, but they don't know the meaning of them, see. Get the meaning of those songs and learn these words that are in these songs. What does this mean? What does that mean? It's easier that way because you're given in to learning. And it's spiritual. Your spirit is there. You're there. And if you're serious about it, it'll come to you. You know that. I know that. And the people that hang around, like us guys over there, they know that, see. And that's why I told you about Yamni. You know, we'd be talking at Kota and we'd laugh, and he'd laugh right along with us. He said, you know, you guys are nuts, you know. And I looked at him and I said, and he said, yeah, I understood what you guys are talking about. Because he said, I know these words, what they mean, you know. So that's, you know, that goes to show you. A guy just hanging around with us, listening to us, understood what he was talking about, and he was laughing at us. And then he'd say, you know, if something was serious, he'd say, oh, we got to go do this, or we got to go do. And that's what we were talking about, see. So he caught it just by listening and being there, see.
Yeah, it was really funny about when you hear them talking about Kota, like after a ceremony when the spirits gave some flags away and stuff, and all of a sudden they said, you know, Lakota, they said, yeah, and don't head to the casino with them flags just to get lucky over there, you know. But they said in Lakota, you know, it was something really simple, you know, but it makes everybody laugh because you're picturing, you have a visual of this guy running straight to the casino with his flags he got in ceremony, you know, and tobacco ties, you know, right, run straight, you know, but our people tell simple jokes like that in Lakota, but they're really funny, you know. Like they was talking about two Lakotas were at the zoo watching the baboons or something, and here that one of them said, that one looks like he's getting ready to throw some shit on us, you know. You know, because they were those apes. Yeah, we better go. They look like they're going to start tossing some poop at us, you know. But they said Lakota, you know, and that sounds funnier than how, you know. That's, and when you learn your own language and hang around with your own crew, your own people, you can be a happier person. When you live in a spiritual way, you can be a happier person.
Now, Tunchi, another thing is people totally forget there is no bad words in the Lakota language. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that in itself should tell that these people something. You know what I mean? And so there's no bad words. See? And the Washitos have plenty, but the Lakota language, there isn't. It's not that way. It's a sacred language. And that's the thing. And to me, if you're serious about it, because of the sacredness of it, you'll catch it easy, you know? But it goes to show you, some of those guys are there 45, 50 years, and they still never speak Lakota, you know? If a Washita guy could learn it in 7 years and be fluent but speak like a woman because a woman taught him, what does that tell you about our own people? That, I didn't grow up. That tells me they're lazier now. They're not serious. You know, they just want to put on a show because they're Native American or whatever they claim to be, you know. And yet there's Washitos out there, you know, doing this, saying, oh, I'm this, I'm that, you know. And you know damn good and well they're liars, you know. And that's the bad part of it, you know. And our language separates us from all these things, you know. That's the thing with our language. Lakota, you claim Lakota. If you're Lakota, then you speak your Lakota. See, there's no ifs, ands. Learn it, even if it's a few words. Learn it, you know, and be proud you're learning it, because Lakota language, it's a simple language, it's effective language, but it's a damn good language, you know. And there's nothing bad about it. There's no bad words in our Lakota language. And that's the way it is. Because of the sacredness of it, people got to think. You know, you don't talk bad about people using a sacred language. You know what I mean? But that's the Washichu idea. If you don't understand it, kill it. See, that's where that comes from. Washichu way of thinking. See, anything you don't understand, that's why they killed Jesus Christ. Probably the greatest man ever given to those Washichus, and they killed him. And they still use him today to make money, to make profits, to gain prostitutes, all this other stuff. They still use that man for this today, after they killed him because they didn't understand him, you know. So anything sacred to the Washichu is bad because of what they did to that man, you know. And we never did do that, us guys. Ours is still intact. We're still here. We're still struggling to keep it alive. Then you get some fools that want to stand in front of a so-called tribal council and make laws against other Lakotas, teach it, you know. To me, that's wrong. That's hypocritical as hell. Go join the Washichu and stay over there if that's your thought, you know. Leave us the hell alone, because we're struggling to keep our language alive. Then when you have Washichus in there with you, that say, oh, we got a patent on this. Nobody else could write Lakota books and all that. To me, who authorized those two Washichu fools in the first damn place? Who did that? You know, you can't do that. That's a language that belongs to all of us. The Lakota language is ours. It don't belong to no Washichus, and they can't put a patent on it. But yet, who allowed that? Washichus allowed that, see? That's why Washichu thinking. They're still trying to destroy us, huh? And they're using our own people today to do it by kicking Lakota speakers off of one reservation and saying all these reservations have to follow this. To me, that's totally wrong, you know. Well, yeah, we're all Lakota, you know. Look at Cheyenne River. How many cowboys, how many people put on dressed like cowboys in Cheyenne River because they're trying to be cowboys? That's Washichu, you know. And those things, think about those things, you know. It's you know. And then you have these Washichus that want to rock the boat, and then you have people, so-called educated people, following these guys. You know, we are our own people. We are our own language. Why do we need Washichus to tell us how to do it, when to do it? You know, that's like me going over to your community and telling you, Tanshi, this is how you have to teach it, and this is how you're going to learn it. And this is the only way, or I'm going to come get the law to come pick you up, you know. That's what's happening, see. And kicking Lakota speakers out from where they belong by other Lakotas is totally wrong. That's what they did to Sitting Bull. They were trying to kill Sitting Bull and all his people. That's why the Oglala snuck them out of there and hid them for 15 years before they realized that they were all in Oglala. That's how those people are up there. And it continues to this day by kicking Lakota speakers out. They're saying that these two guys are going to dictate how the language is taught in every one of these districts, and these Washichus are going to be the ones that control it. To me, that's totally wrong. That's totally wrong. That's not, you know, all these other tribes that are trying to save their language, that have a little, what little they have, trying to save it as their culture. These Washichus and these people like that are a big threat to all of us, not just. Those people that they kicked out of there. It's dangerous for all these tribes. You know, and that's something that you know, it's worrisome. I spoke about this about 5-6 years ago, because my brother told my brother that he has to have a degree to teach Lakota. And the tribe came to him and told him, well, you have to do this if you want to teach at the school. So he agreed, because he cared for the kids. He agreed to go get the degree. And while he was there, he was teaching these so-called professors about the Lakota language.
And it was the other way around. He was teaching them. They didn't teach him nothing. He taught them more than they ever taught. See, that's the problem with what's going on today is the Lakota speakers, the real ones, are getting pushed out of everything. And these wannabe, these fake ones, are the ones that they're putting in charge. You know, and that's shameful as hell. To me, that shouldn't exist.
Well,
and all these other tribes are it's going to happen to them because they're doing it over there. You know,
I want to get some feedback to our listeners, you know, because, you know, I was thinking about a lot of things we're talking about or some feedback from the phone lines, because a lot of the things we're talking about are, you know, like talking about critical race theory, talking about how to help our people, you know, away. And when we start talking about don't be over there voting, don't be over there joining the American and all that, right away people say we're troublemakers and they say, you're stupid. You know, we got to join in with them if we're going to get any place. But how many years does it take laws to pass? We ain't got time for that. You know, by the time one law passes, we lost 1,000 more traditional speakers. Anyway, you know, and the American, this is the most violent nation on earth. I was tripping on how some lady was laying on the beach sunbathing, and going to an emergency, ran her over. Can you imagine that? She laying out there in a bikini, you know, kicking back, and all of a sudden a cop with a big fat tires and stuff just runs her over. You know, that's how life is out there. There's nothing but violence and stupidity. And our native people live in that, and they see that, and they're influenced by that. But Jennifer, you're here. Give us some feedback.
Hey, where do I start? I'm one of those that I was taken away. My dad called it legally kidnapping, where they just was fearing of my dad and all the things that he was doing. And as kids got separated, and I was the only one that got adopted out. But Lakota was my first language. And I just remember certain memories being in foster care where I had a masking tape on my mouth and I was getting hit by a wooden spoon. And for years and years during my childhood, I had forgotten my Lakota language, but that memory was always embedded, ingrained of what, I don't know why they did that. I eventually got taken out of that home and placed in another, but I really struggled in kindergarten and I couldn't understand why it didn't make sense to me. But my adopted brother reminded me when I got older, because I was still transitioning. And so when I took Lakota classes with Philomene Lakota at OLC in Porcupine, it was really beautiful what she had told us, our class, because the moment that she entered that door, she started to talk to all of us in a way where I know why you guys are here without even telling me your own stories, but I know some of you are taking this class and don't be embarrassed because you're here, that you don't know anything, or there's multiple reasons why the government did these things to us. And so she really made us feel like we're back on track of learning who we are. And when she got up to the front, I thought it was really touching because the words were not, she didn't even introduce herself, really. She just said, welcome home. And that really was a memory that, it triggered the memory of why I was getting hit with the wooden spoon. And that was the transitioning of being a fluent speaker. And my brother, my oldest brother, told me I was like a little chatterbox where I spoke the old language, the hard, long words, as little as I was. And sometimes I would get frustrated, he said, if I couldn't remember the word. And he just kind of makes fun of me. He goes, geez, sometimes you made it feel like it was our fault, like you couldn't remember, but you knew that language. And so through the years, my dad had to encourage me and educate me and other relatives, female relatives. And it was really kind of hard to balance working and doing and coming, living in both worlds and raising my children and trying to learn the language. And my dad didn't help one time because he kind of embarrassed me, but in a joking way. He didn't really mean to, but he was sometimes making Lakota words sound, English words sound Lakota. But one time he was telling me, hey, my girl, he said, listen to me and Grace talk. Grace was Spotted Eagle, was my stepmom. And they were driving around, so one day I remembered what he said, and I was really listening hard to what they had to say and to each other. And I picked up a word they kept saying over and over. So I was sitting there, hey, that sounds kind of cool. And I said, Ate, what does Konoko mean? And Grace just looks at me straight face and said, gas station. And so I was like drilling it in my head in the back seat, thinking I was really learning a word. So I go, okay, so how do you spell it? And at that time we drove up to a Conoco station. and Grace looks at me and she says, oh, your dad sometimes just makes English words sound Lakota. And I thought, okay, well, I thought I was really, you know, but stuff like that. But it wasn't nothing that deterred me, because once I went into ceremonies, I got to learn a lot of songs, and it took a lot of patience with my stepmom and my dad to translate. But I love the way that the Lakota language, I don't think English does the language justice in anything, in any way.
No, it don't.
Of translating, because even water, water, you know, it's mani, but it means breath of life. But in Wasichu thinking mentality, we have the, you know, we tell people it means water, but it has so much more depth than just explaining it as being water. It's a breath of life, because it rejuvenates the blood cells, and it's just so deep and beautiful. Everything, if people were to really know what the real words meant when people are piercing, and what when those songs are being sung, it's just tear jerking. But those type of teachers, you know, I've had off and on, have passed, and so I am still seeking other female fluent speakers, but it's just kind of interesting. I was the youngest one, so I was the one that lost the language, but my son, fortunately, is really fluent in picking up. He really picked it up fast, and I'm very happy that he has, and the things that he is able to speak with the spirit, because they speak Lakota. So it really was valuable that he had to learn through the spirit, just as my dad actually learned English through the spirit. But English through the spirit was in what is being taught in school systems, because the word courage in English means something totally different than what the spirit language means. So that's the type of education that I've been getting throughout the years, and I feel like I really need to wrap it up, but it's just that there's more to it than just learning from a book that Albert White had. I mean, he tries, but I think that there's still more that we could go more in depth when we are teaching the sacred language, because like Member said, it is sacred, and that's where we have, it's a command that, you know, those songs are commands for the spirit. So it's not like a hymn in the Bible, or at church, I should say. It's nothing like that. And it's when we have those sacred songs, there's a lot of emotions. So we got a lot of teaching to do, and doing our best, just like Wimber says, just to, if you only know a few words here and there, just go ahead and do it and do your best, because we got to keep that alive. But I do know through the spirits that we can still, so I don't think we ever lose anything. I've made a comeback, you know, of what was brainwashed from me.
Yep, well, you know, the best thing for our people is stay on top of it.
Yeah.
You know, we got to stay on top of it. And ones that do, and don't leave them, and they keep learning, because we all keep learning, you know. Bimber always teaches me stuff, you know, at my old age, you know. And there's a lot, you know, and even songs, when you hear words in songs and you hear words and you thought you knew what they meant one way, and then you find out what they really meant, you know. Anyway, I was going to ask Lance, you know, because sometimes Lance, when he's on, he says words in his language, and I don't know, I never knew what language that is. Maybe he could tell us. And what, you know, Lance, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Alka,
kumyet kumye, that means hello. How are you doing? And that's human-based. I'm a Kokopa Indian right there across the Sonoran Desert right there on the border, that imaginary border that went in 1916 or 1919. I'm not really sure. But my people are from, like, California, Arizona, all the way down to the Baja, and right there where the Colorado River runs into the Baja, California now, you know. And those are Quapa, you know, and we've been there since the beginning of time, you know. I mean, we, like, came out of that ocean, you know, and you know, so, like, I don't know a whole lot of the language, because you're exactly right, you have to be there, and you have to be in the community, and that's the only way that, like, I'm going to learn the language. I know the Lakota and every other tribe out there has an app, or they have some kind of resources that, like, you can get on Amazon. You can go to the library and, like, get these things and to learn about your people. Unfortunately, the Kokopa keep that very close to the chest. And I remember being very, very young, you know, and I'd go to the library and I'd go through the card catalog and I'd find out where the Native American section was, and I'd go there and I would just go through every book trying to find any kind of information about Kokopa, and there's hardly anything, you know. And so it's been tough, you know, but for me and for everyone living off, like everyone that's living off the reservation, you know, you have to go there and you have to go to language classes, you know, and like everybody there is fluent. Like my whole family can just talk in three different languages, you know, and I can barely get through English, and then I know just a very, very little about speaking, you know, with like Kwapa. But I've had the opportunity to learn a couple Lakota words, and do you know what my favorite word is?
What's that?
This is a word that that I know. Like I know what it means, just like I know the very, very limited Kokopa language is Kola. And I had a lesson about that word, you know, and I'm glad I know.
Kola?
You know? Kola, yeah.
Yeah.
Kola.
Yeah.
I know. I don't say it right. Yeah. Kola.
No.
Kola.
You know. Kola.
Yeah.
I'm probably
Kola.
Not saying it right. How do you say it, Bimber?
Yeah, that's right. Kola.
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 Kola. Kola cielo. You're my friend.
Kola cielo.
Yeah.
Well, that's like more than friend to me, you know. That's like family.
Yeah.
You know, Lance, how do they say enemy then?
Never.
Uncola.
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 Uncola. Okay.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, right on. See, look at me, man. I'm learning.
That's a good one.
I'm just messing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that word now.
But you know, a lot of people know, like, even Philip knows Lakota words, you know?
Yeah, that's a good language.
And I'm happy that that because it's a start.
Yeah.
When people don't know their language, but they start learning Lakota, it makes them say, man, I need to learn my own. And then they start digging into their roots and speaking the language.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works. I remember there was a Apache that used to, at Sundance, when his name was Red Eagle, remember, he used to always hang out with me there. And that's what happened to him. He got the culture back, his culture, relearning his culture from coming out and hanging and Sundancing with us. I used to tell him, what the hell are you doing laying out there with this dog-eating Sioux, you know, dog-eating Lakota, you know, because that's what they used to call it, dog-eating Sioux, you know.
And
he laughed. He said, you know what? He said, I had no choice. He said, he worked at a correction facility for kids, for youth.
Yeah.
And they used to call him pig and call him cop, call him names. And here he went some nights with us. And then when he went back, he had this new aurora about him, or whatever you call it, glow, where they started respecting him, the native kids. And he had a juvenile facility in Tucson. And from there, those Navajo kids and those Apache kids started getting with him, you know?
Yeah.
And he even learned some Lakota songs, so he was teaching them some Lakota songs. And the more he stayed with us for years. Yeah.
I think he stayed.
Red Eagle. He lived down there in Arizona. He's he had this,
like,
there was some Navajo
right now, right?
Yeah. And he was an actor. He played in a few movies. And he wanted to try to get the spirits to. What's that lady that acted in The Professional, that young girl? She's adult now, but she acted in that Professional. Remember the hit man? There was a young girl there, and she's kind of a famous movie star. He said, man, I sure would like the spirits help me get that girl. I said, go out there and hang every day and pray about it, you know. Damn, I'm trying to say, I was teasing him. Yeah, but I was trying to think. Does anybody remember that girl's name? She acted in that movie. She was a young kid girl. that was with the hit guy, you know. And
oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I know who you're. I know who you're talking about. Damn, I can't think of her name.
But
you got me going again. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, he was in love with her, and he used to tell me, "Do Lakota have love medicine?" He used to tell me. I said, "Yeah, go out there and hang 50 more times, you know. Go out there and pull 10 skulls 4 times around every year, you know. You'll get her, you
yeah.
know." And I used to tease him like that. But one day I got serious, and I told him, "If you want to pray for somebody," I said, "see that guy over there? Pray for him." And I named off all these guys. They were singers, Sunday singers.
Yep.
I said, "See that big Chepa guy?" I said, "These guys, look, they don't even have a car. They hitchhike up here, but they're singers."
Yeah.
And these singers need prayers because they're the ones keep the ceremonies going and all that. You know, singers are really important in our culture. So he was looking. I said, "Yeah, man." I said, "After Sunmats, go over there and talk to them, you know, give them some honor, shake their hands, you know." And but that's what happened to him. He got the respect from those young Apache kids from Sunmats with Lakota. He said it made him feel more Indian, more Native, more Apache, even though he was with us. It gave him, you know. He had more pride in who he was. And when he was in that juvenile, he started being more into counseling and helping the youth out because of what he got. But he's an example of how I'm saying you got to start somewhere if you don't have nowhere.
Yep.
If you're Native, Indigenous, you have to start somewhere. It's all right to start in Lakota. It's all right.
Yeah.
You know, if I had no other way, I would be learning Apache or something, you know. But fortunately, I always came home to the res, you know. And
you know, the Lakota people ain't afraid to share. That's the thing.
No.
And that's what it's about. See, we're not boat people. None of us are. The natives, we're not boat people. We're all in this together, and that's something we got to realize is that. We got to take care of it. And that's what I'm getting at right here is there's these people that come in and then all of a sudden it's this way or no way, see. And they get the law involved in it. And pretty soon, you know, it's a bunch of chaos. It's another way of destroying us, see. And it shouldn't exist, man. That shouldn't even happen. And then for some guys to say, well, you know, it's me and his way, and everybody has to, you know, bow down to us. That's not right. That's not the Lakota language, see. And to kick our people out of there because of what they want, which is Muzaskal money, and they're using Washitu to do this. To me, those people shouldn't even belong there. You know what I mean? We Lakota people are Unshika. And they're destroying us in leaps and bounds. They're stealing all our land. The Washita's doing it. And yet you get people like that to basically help the Washita. And that's not right. That's not good. See, leave us alone. You know, why do you want to do this to us? You've stolen everything we had, all these Washita's, and they're still trying. Now they're after our language, you know, and that's not right. See. And there's a lot of people, like you said, benefited from that. Me, myself, like I told you, it doesn't matter if you learn one, two words, whatever it means. Get the meaning of it. It doesn't matter if you're Apache or you're from Mexico or you're South America. You never floated in on a boat. This area is ours. It don't belong to the Washitus. They stole it. And that's the thing. And yet you still have people helping the Washitu try to destroy us, you know. And that's what this is about. To me, that's how I look at it, is that when they attack our language as saying that it's theirs, that's not, to me, that shouldn't exist at all. You know, we're all Unshika people. We're pitiful people. And why are these people doing this? You know, why are they being Washitu about it, you know? Like I say, us guys, we're sharing people, we're caring people, we're Ogallala, you know? That's what we're about. You know, we're Lakota. That's more Lakota when you include your inclusive people. That's why our grandfathers said what they said. They could come and pray with us, but they can't own it, or they can't be medicine men because the bloodline is still ours. See, but we'll share everything else. And the reason why they said that was a lot of these people that lost their culture, they're losing their language and leaps and bounds. That's the people they were thinking about. These little kids, these old people. See. And that's how big of thinkers they were back in the day. Nowadays, these people, that shallow-minded people, do things like what these guys are doing, kicking our people out there that speak Lakota, you know, and saying these two white guys are about right. You know? And I had that's not the way it is. That's not right.
You know.
Thank you for thinking about that and like thinking of like how things are going to be in the future, because a lot of people, you know, including myself, you know, like I am so far away from my people. I'm on a different planet. I'm on a different planet, you know, and thankfully, your people were thinking about that, you know, maybe thinking about people like me, you know, I've had the opportunity to grow from that. And this whole community that's misplaced, you know, and there's only a few of us here, you know, but I feel like everyone's had a chance to like grow and evolve into something else, something, you know, like kind of getting to like to like your potential, and that's been through Lakota lessons. You know, so thank you guys. Thank you.
You know,
thank you to your people.
You know, we're a spiritual people, and that's what I mean by a way of life. You see, ours is not a religion. Our way of life, it's a way of life. It's not a religion, or it's not a cult. It's a way of life, and you know, and you guys, like I say, you guys participated. Those of you that did, I want to thank you guys too, because our people all need it. That's the thing. We're all in this together. You know, we're so-called, the Washitos call us natives, you know. But we're people of this land. We never floated in on a ship. And these belong to us. And Glawas, Lakotas are real inclusive people, you know. And that's the theme. You know, our grandfathers were thinking men. They were caring men. They loved the earth. They loved nature. They loved the people. And that's why they did what they did. That's why they fought so hard. The Lakotas fought so hard so we could continue living this way. And I thank my grandfathers for that every day.
I do too. And what I notice the most is the way they think, you know, because like I'm a Kokopa Indian, you know, like, and that was decided before I even knew what was going on, you know, I mean, that's who I am. So like, I think and I react, and these emotions that I have, I mean, that goes way back, you know, and that's like none of my business, you know, I mean, that was given to me. And when I'm around other people, I like notice the differences. And with the Lakota, it's the thinking, you know what I mean? And it like, it's helped me in so many ways, you know. And shout out to my Kokopa people out there, Somerton, Arizona, you know, all my family out there. I'm just out here learning, you know. So,
Well, you know, it's really important, or should I sound like a Washicho? It's really important. It's really important.
Important.
To get our spirituality together, you know, to teach our children this way to, like they call it the Red Road. We want to call it the Red Road. Let's call it the Red Road then. They need to go on the Red Road. And they need to, we need to teach them that. And it's very simple to do. If you start at home and reminding them who they are, you know, it doesn't matter if they're mixed culture. You know, my kids are mixed culture, but the main side of them is Lakota. and they're all, you know, and you know, my daughter and son, they know Lakota. They know they sing, they go to ceremonies, Inipi, all that, you know. So it don't matter what else is going on out there. It's our job to provide this to them, and we can. We can provide it to them. You know, we provide the creation to them, how we came, you know. You know, my kids don't know nothing about Adam and Eve and that poisonous snake, you know. We all learned that, but they don't even know who the hell Adam and Eve is, you know. Young ones, you know, that's far thing from them, you know, to them.
Crunchy.
To them, it's like, crunchy, like you said, Lance, you said the people, your people were there, created here, you know, and that's what we need to teach them. Go ahead, Rimber.
No, you know, when they talk about Adam and Eve and that guy picking that apple, I think there's more to that story than just picking that apple, you know what I mean? That's where I always, you know, they're perverted, so you know what that means. You know,
and what that serpent really was.
You know, that's
poisonous,
you know,
serpent. Yeah. That poisonous serpent was the one who gave him Cain and Abel. You know. You know. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in Noah and the Ark either. I don't believe in none of their baloney, you know? I mean,
it's all made
this
up.
World is big, but yet it's small compared to the other galaxies. But our world covers a lot of space for us, you know, even right here where I live, you know? And and there's no way. It's like when the white man tells us they brought the forces from Spain, or there was no humans here till they got it, till we got here 10,000 years ago. That's stupid as all hell, you know?
Yep.
Everything they say, we got everything over here in this country. We even got monkeys. We got apes, you know? We got everything. Everything the rest of the continents have, we got them, animal life and all that, you know? You know, some of us, ours are more unique, but yet we still have them, you know? I mean, we still have the what they call the California condor and the Andean condor, you know? They don't have condors over there. We still have some pretty brilliant things. And they're trying to say no human was here till we came here 10,000 years ago. You know, we were created here. Just like you said, Lance, we were created here. We were all indigenous people were created here, you know. We just separated through time. That's why we have that word, Mitakuye Oyasin, you know, because we're all related when we were created here, you know. And, you know, we got to go. Any last comments, Jennifer, real quick?
Not
time
really,
flying again.
Just good show, and have a good weekend, everybody.
Hey,
and Philip, real quick.
Yeah. Just wanted to say it was a really great show. It was good to hear Jennifer and Lance this time on there. You know, it was really good to hear Lance on the show. A lot of good conversation.
Yeah, I'm glad about some of the topics we shared. And once again, we're blessed to have Vimber with us, you know, and, you know, Lila Wopila Tonka, you know, Tanshi, you know. So with that, I let you take it out.
Ho-ho.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say a prayer, you guys, for closing. Hey,
Natsukashla tukstek te lota ki onyankila natsukashla. Ushuana onkia pietsukashla. La kota la kalila onk panichap. Naya voce ki glenetela ki hapchunke a ushisha kelechtaituk. Hoe chichapunk ushinkola po yuhila tukashla. Nishna lawani kumpel unke sewin chashapelo. Ushinkila po hamitaki asin.
Oh. Okay, with that, we're going to have to head out and thank everybody for tuning in.
In the beginning of time, there was an entity that moved about in the blackness of space. The Lakota called him Ian Tokahea, the first stone. From this was born one red woman, one red man. As they walked upon the earth, they were given a prayer. To this day, we walk with their prayer. Ho mitakuyepi, ti ikche ka tokahea okitahun, chetan tan ka tokahe kiye na wo wikan yuha mani, we cho iye na oloa unkahib. We bring you these songs with our truth.
Kashwa, Hate Topa, Wankatake, Yotawaka, and Uchimaka. Hechem seik jewi chasha kelel hipna. Hoini chapi. Ushun kilapo, we chose on Mawoki, Ulakote chela.
Chesapaki iwoglakap. At this gathering place, the Black Hills, we depend upon Ptehinchala, the buffalo calf, for all our spiritual, physical, and emotional needs. This way of life is known throughout the world. It is here we call home.
Oshka. Hanke. Inat yuha, we chawiks.